From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As the U.S. is tracking its lowest level of coronavirus infections since mid-September, and more than 46% of the country's population has received at least one shot of a vaccine, the CDC last week announced fully vaccinated people can forego their masks and social distancing in most indoor settings. They'd also already said that for most outdoor activities. Here in Illinois, with just more than a third of the population fully vaccinated, Governor J.B. Pritzker has indicated he's looking at how to ease the statewide mask mandate in light of the new CDC guidance. For many, the guidelines came as a shock because just 2 weeks earlier, the CDC said vaccinated people were safer while wearing masks. Dr. Anthony Fauci spoke on CBS's Face the Nation last weekend and said the CDC's updated mask guidelines are based on the evolution of science. Here's what else he had to say.
When you get vaccinated, you not only protect your own health, that of the family, but also you contribute to the community health by preventing the spread of the virus throughout the community. In other words, you become a dead end to the virus. And when there are a lot of dead ends around, the virus is not going to go anywhere. And that's when you get a point that you have a markedly diminished rate of infection in the community.
We've been asking listeners what you thought of the new guidance. Many of you are hesitant to go maskless in public, but others are looking forward to it.
Hi, this is Kathy. I live in Urbana. I am really not celebrating the CDC's most recent announcement because until my local public library, my CVS store, and my supermarket all take down their no mask, no entry signs on their front doors, my daily life is not going to be changing one iota. The CDC can make proclamations till the cows come home, but if and when local health departments stymie those announcements or block them, what's the point? I hope I'm wrong about this. I hope everything works out smoothly and maybe we'll all be on the same page very soon. But until I see some really local action, I can't get real excited about it yet. So we'll see what happens. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kathy. Listeners, we want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. What do you think of the CDC's new guidelines? Will it affect your decision to wear a mask or not wear one? 800-222-9455. What did you see out in the world this weekend in terms of mask compliance? My family and I visited the Gateway Arch National Park over the weekend, just the outdoor areas, save for the restroom. The Park Service was still requiring masks indoors, but enforcement appeared to be lacking. I saw several people with a chin diaper mask below the mouth and nose, not doing any good. What did you see? 800-222-9455. Are you concerned about the fact that we're basically on the honor system to know who's vaccinated and who's not? Or if you have any questions for any of our guests about going maskless, join the conversation by giving us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Joining us today to talk about the CDC's latest guidelines is Becky Smith. She's an epidemiologist and professor of pathobiology at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Professor Smith, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me back, Brian.
Also joining us today is Dr. Vithya Sundaresan. She's the interim chief of infectious diseases and a professor at SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. Dr. Sundaresan, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And Jennifer Klein has a PhD in public health and epidemiology and is director of infection prevention at Swedish American Hospital in Rockford. Dr. Klein, thank you for joining us as well today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we continue the conversation, I want to ask what each of you are planning to do with your masks, presuming you're all fully vaccinated and comfortable sharing that. Let me start with you, Professor Smith. Are you looking forward to going maskless?
I am not planning to go maskless in public places anytime soon. When I'm walking in the neighborhood, of course, I don't feel the need to wear a mask, but I have young children, and so if I'm out in public places with them, I'm certainly going to be wearing a mask to show to them how and keep them protected.
And Dr. Sundaresan, what about you?
My workplace is in the hospital, and that requires me to wear a mask. So definitely going to keep that on as the workplace guidance requires. And also because I am going to be around patients who are immunocompromised in my specialty, I do see a lot of patients who are immunosuppressed and immunocompromised. So yes, I do plan to keep my mask on, at least for the time being.
And Dr. Klein, what about you? I imagine similar protocols at the hospital, but maybe what about in your personal life when you're out in the world?
Yeah, we do follow the same protocol here in the hospital, as previously mentioned. But out in the community, I intend to continue to mask as well. I think there are a lot of variables in play with this new guidance, and I would prefer to continue to mask. And the same as Dr. Smith, I have young children as well. And I'd like to continue to kind of be a good example and protect my child and those out there who are immunocompromised and who have not been vaccinated yet.
So, Dr. Smith, as an epidemiologist, I want to ask you, do you have concerns about the CDC's announcement that, vaccinated Americans do not need to wear masks in most indoor spaces?
I wish it had had a bit more nuance to it. Now, it is true what they say, that as we're getting more of the science coming in, it's quite clear that people who are vaccinated are protected against infection and also against infectivity and severe disease if they do get infected. But as we've learned in the last year, the biological science and the social science don't always go hand in hand. And the social science has been showing us that not requiring masks, moving it to an honor system could be dangerous. And so I really wish there had been more nuance about when it was okay for a locality to drop the mask requirement, link it a little bit more to vaccination coverage in an area and the number of cases that we've been seeing.
And Dr. Klein, you're also an epidemiologist. How do you share some of those concerns, or do you see it differently?
I do share the same concerns. I mean, in theory, it makes sense for those who have been vaccinated to not wear a mask and those who have not been vaccinated to mask. But I think from what we've seen throughout this pandemic, it's likely that people will be even less likely to comply with mask wearing when they're given more freedom to make their own choices. And I think this is presenting a very difficult task for businesses. And it's going to be difficult to enforce. Like Dr. Smith said, it forces us to kind of rely on the honor system. People don't know who has been vaccinated, who has not been vaccinated, and to assume somebody who's not masked has been vaccinated wouldn't be a wise decision.
We asked our texting group about the latest mask guidelines from the CDC. Several people say they plan to hold on to their masks. Jean in Champaign said, I was in my barber shop today. All mask wearing signs and behavior were gone. Not sure how I feel about it. The vaccine is very effective. I understand it is around 95% effective. And if 95% of us were vaccinated, I would be very comfortable not wearing masks. But we're still a long way from 95% being vaccinated. Until we reach a higher level of vaccinations, I think we are wise to keep wearing our masks, especially those who are not yet or those choosing not to be vaccinated. Wilbur in Rantoul said, how is anyone or anywhere going to know who is fully vaccinated? I am vaccinated, but will continue wearing a mask within 6 feet of people I don't know. Juanita said, I've been vaccinated, but I still wear a mask in large crowds around elderly or ill people for their safety, and I don't mind at all. Similarly, Farouk in Savoy said, I will definitely continue to carry a mask whenever I leave home and probably will continue to wear a mask more often than is necessary. But with the new CDC guidelines, I generally won't feel so concerned when I encounter strangers who are improperly masked or unmasked entirely. Finally, Stephen in Urbana said, I have much more confidence in the vaccines to protect us than I have in the behavior of people not to spread the virus. We'll likely keep wearing a mask in situations where I feel uncomfortable. Hopefully more people will continue to get immunized. Listeners, we're talking about the new CDC guidelines. We want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is our number. 800-222-9455. We're talking about this with Dr. Becky Smith, epidemiologist and professor at U of I, Dr. Jennifer Klein, another epidemiologist, public health PhD, who is director of infection prevention at Swedish American Hospital in Rockford, and Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who is chief of infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, where she's also a professor. Dr. Sundaresan, for many of our texters, their concern about going maskless stemmed from wanting to prevent the spread of virus to others. How likely is it for a vaccinated person to get infected and potentially pass it on?
So, you know, the good thing is vaccines are really effective. Initially, when we started vaccinating people, we said, wear your mask, keep your masks on despite getting vaccinated, because you still have a chance of passing this virus on to others, because you could be carrying the virus in your nasopharynx. Now, they have studied that the chances of carriage, nasopharyngeal carriage, and chances of passing it on to others in fully vaccinated people are much lower. So that definitely is very encouraging in terms of the benefits of vaccination. When we have people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated in the groups, people that are unvaccinated, if you have higher numbers of those people, it does lead to a chance of outbreaks. It again depends on the activities, the ventilation. There are so many other things that are also in operation there. But for most part, the vaccines are very effective. And in those that are vaccinated, there's much lesser chance of them passing that on to others.
I don't know if you follow baseball at all. There was a story that the New York Yankees had 8 people who were tested and turned up positive. It turned out they'd all received the Johnson & Johnson or Janssen vaccine, and they were fully vaccinated. It turns out only one of those people was symptomatic. The other 7 were not symptomatic. And is your perspective that their viral load was probably low enough that they wouldn't pass it on, and maybe it's only because there was so much testing? What do you make of news stories like that, where you hear about these, you know, so-called breakthrough infections?
The vaccine is not 100% effective. So there are chances, and when testing is conducted frequently, that's when we pick up these vaccine breakthroughs as well. A lot of them remain unvaccinated. A lot of them remain asymptomatic. For instance, there is a requirement in the hospital for people undergoing any kind of a surgical procedure to undergo testing. So a lot of the vaccine breakthrough infections are picked up there, where people can be absolutely asymptomatic and have testing for other reasons. So, yes, I think the testing and the level of testing kind of determines that as well. Whatever it is, in vaccinated people, their symptoms and the chances of having poor outcomes, the chances of being hospitalized are much, much, much lower.
On Twitter, Ravi tweeted at us, "I do not plan on changing my behavior. Having the vaccine does not make you immune completely. If so, the recommendation would not still require mask use for those vaccinated on buses, planes, trains, schools, hospitals, etc." Dr. Smith, what about that? I mean, I've eaten in restaurants that were just as small as subway cars and with worse ventilation. Do you know what's behind the CDC thinking on maintaining masks on public transportation, but not in, say, restaurants where people are there with, you know, their mouths uncovered for much of the time?
I can't say that I know exactly what's behind their thinking, but I think part of it is simply that in order to avoid having this honor system, it's easier just to say that everybody needs to wear a mask. That's the easiest to enforce. That's the easiest to avoid having to ask people for private health information about whether or not they've been vaccinated. So I'm guessing that that is part of what's behind it, that in these situations where people are close together for longer periods of time, that they want to make sure that everybody can stay safe.
And Dr. Klein, I wonder what your perspective on this. I'm beginning to see, and we have about a minute before we need to break, I should add, but I see maybe a divergence between people with a sort of individual perspective, yes, the individual is probably safe from infecting others or being infected themselves if they're vaccinated, versus a sort of more broader public health messaging perspective. Do you see a divergence there among experts on, where the CDC went with its masking requirements? Dr. Klein?
Well, I think really if you're looking at large or small spaces with large groups of people, the incidence or chance of transmission is much higher regardless, and keeping source control in those locations is going to be your safest bet. But talking about individual control, it's much easier to individually control your behaviors than it is a large group of people in a small setting.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. 800-222-9455 is the number. We have a couple of callers on the line. We're going to get to those as soon as we come back from our short break. You're listening to The 21st. More on the new CDC mask guidelines. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by AARP Illinois, featuring Disrupt Disparities, an initiative working to bring about policy, systemic, and structural changes for older Americans of color. More information on this multi-year project at disruptdisparitiesil.com.
This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the CDC guidelines announced last week that said that people who have been fully vaccinated, that's received both doses of the mRNA, Pfizer or Moderna two-step vaccines and waited 2 weeks after that, or the one step Johnson & Johnson vaccine and waited 2 weeks after that. If you are fully vaccinated, you can go without masks in most indoor settings, exceptions for airplanes, trains, subway cars, that sort of thing. But generally, you can go without masks in most settings. Those who are not vaccinated are supposed to still continue wearing masks. We are already seeing businesses and governments responding to this. Walmart, Target, I believe, Starbucks have all announced they are dropping their mask requirements for vaccinated people. We are talking about this with three experts. Dr. Jennifer Klein is a PhD, public health and epidemiology, director of infection prevention at Swedish American Hospital in Rockford. Dr. Vithya Sundaresan is professor and chief of infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. And Dr. Becky Smith is epidemiologist and associate professor of pathobiology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We heard from listener Joel on Twitter who said, "I am keeping a mask on because I want to be a Fauci, quote, dead end with a guardrail. The mask is my guardrail that keeps me from spreading the virus if I'm asymptomatic, though I am vaccinated." Listeners, what do you think? Are you ready to ditch your mask? Keeping it with you, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Let's take a couple of calls now. Pam is on the line from Lake County. Pam, thanks for calling in.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So what's your question or comment?
Well, from the very beginning of this pandemic, there have been so many inconsistencies. Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot could stay open, but the mom-and-pop organizations could not. Once they allowed indoor seating in restaurants, you needed a mask to enter, but you didn't need a mask once you got seated at your table. You're still exposing yourself. I will continue wearing masks the way that I currently do, but I do see that at this country, as China, after the bird flu epidemic, we're now decades after the bird flu. Some people in China wear masks, some people don't. And I think that in this country, we're going to see even 20, 30 years from now, there's going to be people walking around that are not going to feel comfortable and will still wear their mask. And there's going to be probably a majority of people that won't. But it just is, there's too many inconsistencies.
and have been from the very beginning. And we're now 15 months into this, and those inconsistencies are continuing.
Okay, thank you for the call, Pam. Dr. Smith, what about that? Do you see inconsistencies in the public health messaging around this, or maybe a chance for people to miss the nuance, maybe in or at least the maybe it's not nuance, that big second half of the statement, which is if you're not vaccinated, you're still supposed to be wearing a mask?
I think there's part of that, the concern that people are going to miss that. But there's also the concern that people who are not yet vaccinated, some are not vaccinated because they choose not to worry about the pandemic. And so those are the people who are more likely to not want to wear a mask to begin with. And that's where I say that the social science has been missed here, that in messaging that it's okay for some people to drop the mask, those who had wanted to from the beginning will do so whether or not it is entirely safe.
You know, Dr. Klein, this brings up another point. Some public health advocates have concerns about how the CDC's guidelines could affect Black communities in particular, with lower vaccination rates than other parts of the state. As we've seen throughout the pandemic, Black communities have been among the hardest hit by the pandemic. Do you have a perspective on how at risk these communities might be without a broader mask mandate or mask recommendation compared to other communities with higher vaccination rates?
Sure. Yeah, I think that we are. We're seeing some discrepancies in different populations in vaccination rates and illness rates, and that's to be expected. And so I think when we're thinking as a whole and what we can do as communities to protect those populations, we need to consider protecting them. And those are the at-risk populations that we should be considering, like the immunocompromised, those who haven't had access to a vaccine, those who are unable to be vaccinated, children, obviously, that haven't been vaccinated. These populations need us to continue to protect them. So those are the things that we need to be considering when we're making decisions about when we should and shouldn't wear masks.
I want to go take another caller now at 800-222-9455. John is on line one from Springfield. John, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I'm going to continue to wear my mask until the CDC announces herd immunity in the United States. I have relatives that are in quarantine that have been vaccinated and they've tested positive. I know CDC says that about 5,000 people have tested positive after vaccination. And I don't trust the general public because I know many, many people drive their cars without driver's license. So I just don't trust population to conform to the policy that's just been announced. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call, John. Dr. Sundaresan, we heard our caller John there mention herd immunity, and I think I've seen some reporting recently that this is, you know, the prospects for achieving herd immunity, at least through mass vaccination and past infection, may be dimming, at least in the way people had thought it might have been possible earlier on. Do you have a perspective on is herd immunity still the goal? Is it an attainable goal?
There are variable percentages that are quoted for a herd immunity, anywhere from 65% to all the way 90% of the population being vaccinated. The higher the percentage, the better it is. The more people you have protected, definitely that makes a difference. And, you know, to the point of the caller, there are personal risks that people should definitely discuss with their physicians. And regarding safety of wearing a mask or not, those should also be taken into account. And like it was mentioned earlier, we have a responsibility to protect those that are vulnerable. In terms of marginalized groups, children, immunocompromised. So all that kind of plays a role as well. But herd immunity, we've seen in countries like Israel, about 60-65% of their population being vaccinated. And they have really been able to make a change in the epidemiology of how the virus presents and the infections present.
Let's take another caller now. Chris is on the line from Springfield. Chris.
Yeah, my only statement is this. If you're paranoid about it, wear your mask. If you're not, then don't. I would rather take a chance with the virus than take a chance getting the vaccine that there's a possibility that you can die from it. So to me, it doesn't weigh out. I'd rather just take my chance.
Okay, thanks for the call, Chris. Dr. Smith, let me ask you about that. Do you have a sense of risk from not taking the vaccine versus risk from taking it based on what we know about the death rates and outcome rates from getting COVID-19 versus getting injected with one of the COVID-19 vaccines?
To the best of my knowledge, there has been an absolutely minuscule risk from the vaccines. Very, very, very small risk. Hundredths of what the risk is from the COVID-19 infection. In addition, in taking the vaccine, you're not only protecting yourself, you are protecting the people around you, the people who are vulnerable, the people who can't have the vaccine either because it's not approved for them yet, young children, or because they are immunocompromised in some way. So the risk calculation is not just for yourself, but it's also for your community. And given the extremely low risk of the vaccine compared to the risk of the disease, even the calculation for yourself, it seems to me that it comes down in the side of the vaccine. But even if you choose not to get the vaccine, that's fine. Wearing a mask is zero risk. And I would really encourage people to wear a mask if they choose not to be vaccinated to protect themselves and to protect their community.
Dr. Sundaresan, do you have a response to the caller's comments there about, again, outcomes between getting vaccinated and getting COVID-19?
The vaccine works. And what it works most for is keeping people out of the hospital. And it also works against bad outcomes. And we have enough real-world data now from what CDC has said. And the real-world data actually looks much better than what they found in the clinical trials. And like Dr. Smith was saying, the chances of people getting infection post-vaccination is extremely low, extremely low. So in all situations, the data is on the side of vaccination for sure. So yeah, and I also would like to endorse what Dr. Smith said. If someone chooses not to take the vaccine in that situation, yes, they must do whatever they can to protect themselves as well as people around them from getting infected.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the CDC's new guidelines. They say fully vaccinated people can forego masks in most indoor and outdoor settings. We're speaking with Dr. Vithya Sundaresan from SIU School of Medicine, Dr. Jennifer Klein, Director of Infection Prevention. I'm going to learn to say that right. Infection Prevention at Swedish American Hospital in Rockford, and Dr. Rebecca Smith, epidemiologist and professor of pathobiology at U of I Urbana-Champaign. The Chicago Tribune reported that Lollapalooza, the music festival that usually hosts hundreds of thousands of people over several days from the suburbs, Chicago, all over the country, is returning downtown Chicago this summer for 4 days, its usual location in Grant Park. Dr. Klein, it sounds like an epidemiologist's nightmare. Do you think late July is too soon for a social gathering this large, or is there a possibility that this will be safe based on conditions at the time?
Yeah, I think you said it best. It does kind of sound a little bit like a nightmare. You know, settings like that, they're uncontrolled. People are going to make their own decisions. People aren't going to follow the guidance. There's just too many variables in play to say that would be safe. It's less than, 2 months away. I can't imagine that the situation that we're in right now will change so drastically that a gathering of that size would be safe.
Another common question we've heard from people is about children. And Dr. Sundaresan, I want to ask you, we got a texter who said, I think the new guidelines are ambiguous and to assuage the masses. What about people with kids? And this person observed that on their bike commute home last week, people at the U of I were still masking up outside. and that this person will continue doing that. Dr. Sundaresan, what about people with children? Do they need to be more conservative and err on the side of wearing their masks? Or, again, is the risk of transmission low enough that that's not as much of an issue for them?
It is definitely recommended for people with children that are aged under 12 who are still not eligible for vaccination to continue to follow masking guidelines, especially when they're out in public places and crowded places. It's definitely better to do that. With indoor guidance, it's also better when they are in private settings to see if there's a risk of having people that are not vaccinated. In those situations, it's just better to keep up with masking behaviors as of now, especially if there are children under 12 years of age.
And Dr. Sundaresan, I want to ask you another thing. I heard an infectious disease physician based in New York City over the weekend being interviewed who said a lot of the hospitals there are reporting that the people they're seeing being admitted with COVID are ones who have chosen not to get a vaccine. Do you know, is that a similar story in Springfield, or do we not have information on that?
That is very much the same story here in Springfield as well, that most of the people who are getting admitted have chosen not to get vaccinated. People who are admitted despite vaccination, they have mild to moderate disease or maybe immunocompromised. People with an immunocompromising condition may not mount as good of a response with vaccination. So that's what we have seen in those getting admitted.
And Dr. Klein, I think probably the last question, we've only got about a couple of minutes left in our conversation here, but Dr. Fauci and the CDC's director, Rochelle Walensky, said that very quickly the CDC will release individual types of guidance so people can know how to navigate different public settings like workplaces. As people wait for these more specific guidelines, what are you recommending? How should people handle wearing a mask?
I think right now, until we have some more very specific guidance that really speaks to each different setting and the populations that are frequenting that setting, masking and following the same infection prevention guidance that we have been following throughout this pandemic would be the best bet.
And Dr. Sundaresan, I'm going to sneak one more question in here. We got last minute. Immunocompromised people who are vaccinated, still, what's the recommendation for them?
It's best to talk to their providers to make sure they understand their personal risks. So as of now, it is recommended to continue to mask if there is any history of an immunocompromising condition. It's also very difficult to predict to what extent they have mounted a response, an antibody response with vaccination. Not very clear, even if you check the antibody titers, et cetera, whether it's protective. So at this point, it is best to discuss with their providers to assess their personal risks. When we say immunocompromising conditions, it's a very big umbrella there of many conditions, but it's best to check with your doctors and continue to mask if you're unsure.
Doctors Vithya Sundaresan, Jennifer Klein, and Becky Smith, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And more to come after a short break. We're going to be talking about trains, some potential changes on the horizon for rail in Illinois. That's coming up. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.